您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。New research from Mintel shows that China has overtaken the U.S. as the world's biggest ice cream market. Why are Chinese people eating more ice cream? 研究咨询公司英敏特进行的一项调查显示，中国已经超越美国成为世界最大的冰激凌市场。为什么中国人越来越爱吃冰激凌了呢？ So what is going on?
Let's look at the figures first. So Mintel found that between 2008 and 2014, the total market value for ice cream sales in China soared by, listen to this, 90%, and to reach more than $11 billion. And meanwhile, in the U.S., the market has grown at a much slower rate, that is climbing by only 15%. But when you look at the figure, it's still pretty staggering to $11.2 billion. And when you consider the population between the two countries, there's a vast difference. So on the one hand, I'm not surprised because in China, we have a gigantic population. If you calculate, you know, the number of toothpastes we use or whatever we use, if everybody is doing it, then it's going to be a staggering number. But I think the question is really, when did we like sweet stuff so much?
Yeah. Now, first of all, the research company is called Mintel.
Yeah, Mintel.
Wouldn't that make a great name for an ice cream?
Mintel.
I'm just going to buy a Mintel. You know, mint-flavoured ice cream.
Okay.
It'd be a great name for an ice cream, wouldn't it? Now, I think this is to do with Chinese people's lack of interest in consuming dairy products. And I know that in recent years, there have been big marketing campaigns to encourage Chinese people to have more dairy products, more milk, more cheese.
And that's not really catching on,
though. Cheese hasn't caught on. But I think yogurts have, for example, or
yes.
What, speaking with an American accent, both of you, you might say yogurt, right? But I think, and similarly with ice cream, it's a milk product. This is something that the milk producing industry makes. It's one of their main products. So it's not surprising that they would want this to be encouraged in China as well. And of course, ice creams taste great. What they do have to fight against is this belief in my Chinese friends that they shouldn't eat cold things because it can make them ill.
Well, I think it's under the Chinese philosophy, it is in certain circumstances then you should be extra cautious when you're consuming cold stuff, and it's probably not good for your system. And as a lady, I have to concur that, you know, during certain times of the month, you stay away from cold stuff. That is sort of the wisdom that I've acquired through real experience.
Oh, so I was going to ask if you'd ever tried to have cold stuff and suffered as a result.
But
it seems that you have.
The thing is that not a lot of people believe in this sort of traditional Chinese medicine medical advice anymore.
Really? I mean, I found all, I mean, I won't say all, but I mean, my colleagues and everyone advises me not to eat cold stuff.
But they're eating cold stuff themselves all the same. You know, go on the street and look at people holding sodas, iced sodas on their hands, or popsicles or ice creams on their hand. Everyone's eating these cold things.
I think there's a certain place and a certain time for whatever behavior. And the other day when I advised Mark against having some cold stuff was because he, first of all, was not feeling very well, I think. And also, you were starving. So I thought, you know, that doesn't... Okay, anyway...
Oh, that's right. I hadn't had anything to eat all day.
Oh.
And ice cream probably not the best thing to have.
But why, though? I mean, you know. Anyway, we went
there. Anyway, nutritious.
Oh, I see. Let's look at some more figures here. It's very interesting. Americans are the biggest ice cream eaters in the world. I don't mean big in the sense of, you know, the physical size.
Okay.
We should rephrase it and say more Americans consume more more ice cream than anyone else. They have 18.4 liters. Each person in a year, that's more than four times the average Chinese personal intake of ice cream. So from the manufacturer's point of view, you can see why they're excited. I mean, they've got a chance to increase their sales of ice cream a lot. I can't do the maths or percentages, but by about 400% by the look of it.
Mm. Yeah, and actually I think ice cream isn't entirely a Western invention, because I think in China we've always had popsicles. Popsicles. And, you know, that's just ice with, like, juice or sugar in it, and it's very easy to make, and I think we can even trace history back to the Yuan Dynasty when this thing first occurred. So this is not entirely a Western invention. But I think with all these new Western brands that have come into the Chinese market, and I think that's kind of the new phenomenon. And now you've got like a vast array of ice creams, popsicles, and all kinds of icy stuff that you can choose from.
Yeah, a quick story from when I was 13 years old. I used to have a newspaper round, so I used to deliver newspapers after school. Mm. And I used to deliver one to the local sweet shop, which was great, because the man that ran it used to give me sweets.
Really?
So yeah, I remember being in there once, dropping off the newspaper. And a woman went in with her small child, and she asked for an ice cream. And it was the middle of winter.
Uh-huh,
and I thought, that's strange. And she said, I don't know why my daughter wants an ice cream, because it's so cold outside. And he said, you must remember, it's a sweet as well as something that's cold.
Mm.
So this is something else to consider. People don't just like an ice cream because it's cold. They like it because of the flavour. And it is a sweet or a candy, as well as being something that's cold. Isn't it amazing what can trigger a distant memory from the past like that? I hadn't thought of that for years, what that man said in that shop.
That is interesting.
One of the, I suppose, pleasant surprises, as it could go the other way round as well, is so many things can trigger different memories in Mark's, mind.
I just said that's like there's an echo in the studio.
Yes, and I find that, you know, very interesting and inspiring at times. So I think now in China, when you look at the market competition between these locally made ice cream and foreign ones, it's really a big battle that's being fought right now, and it's a competition to get to the Chinese palate and which can suit it better. And it's not entirely a new phenomenon, but certainly ice cream is commonplace in the summertime. It is the best thing.
But if you take a look and take a moment to do some research about how fattening an ice cream is, it is super fattening. And I'm glad that Mark mentioned the fact that ice creams are sweet, because a scoop of ice cream can have at least 91 calories. And one regular sized ice cream can have as much as 334 calories. And if that's not a good enough figure for you, basically if you eat one ice cream, it equals to 2 scoops of oil and 6 pieces of sugar cubes.
Right. Look, let's just remind ourselves of corn syrup and palm oil.
At the same time,
corn
yes.
syrup and palm oil.
They're used to make ice cream.
They were not in ice cream 10 years ago, and they were not in some ice creams 5 years ago. And if you look at a graph showing the incidences of obesity combined with the prevalence of corn syrup and palm oil in food we eat, and we don't even know it's in there, you'll see a staggering correlation on the graph.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that our listeners should look into for themselves, really. So, you know, as we said before, in previous decades, if you look at old photos, you see plenty of people eating ice cream. None of them are fat.
Yeah, and let me now go to some of our listeners' messages. Chunhua Qiushi, for example, gave us some of the theories behind the Chinese thought about why cold stuff is not recommended. The listener said Chinese and Westerners basically have different systems physically, which is why we need to 坐月子 after birth, and which is why Chinese should stay away from cold food, cold drinks, and ice creams, etc.
What do you
not
mean,
all the time.
Wait a minute. Chinese people have a different system. Do you mean
physical
body?
Physical built up.
What then?
But not in terms of bones and muscles and internal
in terms
organs,
of what,
but
then?
In terms of the TCM theory about.
Or what your organs are used to, because, you know, I think, let's say Chinese people grow up eating rice and not having so many dairy products in our bodies. And to, when you're comparing someone who's grown up on, you know, dairy products, then I don't think it's a big surprise that there's differences when it comes to the system build-up.
I can't believe. So you're saying that if a surgeon looked at one heart and then another heart, that surgeon could say that's the Chinese heart.
The fact
and
you
that's
mentioned surgeon
heart.
Means that you believe it's the Western system. If you go to a TCM doctor, maybe he or she will have a very different view on
it. I think our listener mentioned what was the phrase used there? It mentioned the physical system, didn't it?
Yeah, but you know, there.
I do not believe Chinese people's bodies have different organs than other nationalities.
That's not what she's saying at all,
Explain to me, because I'm...
Okay, it's sort of like what your body is used to. It's not saying that, you know, we have different muscles. You know, like I'm built as Iron Man and you're built as... I don't
Superman.
Know. No, you know, some one of those Lord of the Rings
you,
people. So, you know, I'm not saying that at all right?
Mark is seriously offended.
But, I mean, I don't really understand fully. It seems to me...
Actually, I don't understand that either.
A person is a person. There's no difference based on nationality between the organs of the body.
No, it's because how you grew up eating different food, and so your system can digest certain things better and certain things less well.
I'm you know me, Heyoung.
I'm always curious, child, who wants to go to the bottom of things.
I'm willing to change my mind based on evidence that's provided. Yes, in this case, I can see. Yeah, if you're brought up to eat certain foods and so forth, maybe possibly it might affect your tolerance or intolerance to other foods and so forth. Yeah, you know, it does make sense from that point of view. I'm glad we pursued that and got to the... And you managed to make me change my mind.
Yes, and that's the part that I enjoy the most. It's like, you know, finally we've gotten you on board. And I'm really glad that you actually brought up the, you guys both talked about calories and, you know, in that little scoop that looks so tasty. And it's, oh, just feel it on your tongue. It's the best. But actually, think about the amount of sugar, the amount of oil, and what corn oil that you're consuming.
Corn syrup,
Yes, that. And I think it's exactly because... Let's say in the U.S., as in this report is talking about, people are more aware of these things, and that's why people are consuming less. But sometimes I see it as a bit of a sad thing going on in China, is as now we're seeing that trend that used to happen in the U.S. maybe 10, 20 years ago, that people are craving for these things. But the studies are out there. The figures are out there, like we've cited just now. I think now, you know, don't binge eat it, but I can totally understand when you want to have that scoop. So just have it in moderation. That's what I'm trying to say.
Look for a report that came out in 2005 called the China Study. This looked at the world's best diet, which was found in inland rural China, and eat that. And you will live to a ripe old age.
Yeah, that's interesting. And talking about ice creams, Jasmine says, ice cream to me is a lot luxury because I am on a diet. So every time when I yearn for ice cream, I just look at the calorie count that's on the packaging and then I can stop my craving.
Do you know, it's quite easy to make your own. I knew somebody who when I had this party at my flat, she made some ice cream, French girl actually, and it's very simple. She just used egg whites and something else. She mixed this stuff up in a bowl and then put it in the freezer for a couple of hours, and it was like one of those Haagen-Dazs or Ben and Jerry's. It was like that thick, beautiful ice cream. I thought you would need a special machine to make ice cream, but you don't.
No.
You can make it yourself.
Actually,
and then you know what's going into it, too.
Yeah, I make my own ice creams, too, you know, because my daughter wants ice creams, and I don't want her to eat super unhealthy ice creams. But let me tell you what, even though a homemade ice cream is slightly better, more nutritional than an ice cream bought elsewhere, it is still very sugary. You have to add enough sugar in it for it to have that taste.
We had this thing when I was a child where... It was like an ice cube maker, but you could put a stick in the side, and then you could just use some cordial or orange juice or something mixed with water and make your own ice lollies or popsicles. And then you know exactly what's going into it. And you just use a low sugar cordial or something and mix it with water. And then you can control the amount of sugar because you know there isn't any in there.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to make a little confession that I wasn't listening to what you guys were talking about at all, because apparently, Mark, there was a party going on in your flat, and how come I wasn't invited? I want to get to the bottom of that.
Oh, that's why you're drifting off. But we don't have time for that, so Mark, you answer Hui Yang's question later.